There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Member Guest Podcast. Great to be in the studio tonight. It's been a while since the whole band has been together. Last week, our good buddy Jordan recorded an episode by himself. It wasn't very good. No, I'm just kidding. We all actually liked it.
You know how hard that is?
Yeah, it's hard.
Props to Colin Cowherd.
Who's the, I think it's Bill Burr that just does his own podcast of just him talking. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I got like 2 minutes in, and I think there was like a pause in the episode. I was just like, what am I doing?
Well, we got everybody in the studio tonight. We've got a very special guest for our listeners. Very excited about it. And tonight we have a special frequent co-host of the podcast, Mr. Jamie Rue, in the house. And I'm going to yield the floor to Mr. Jamie Rue to introduce our guest. And we're going to get into a little bit of his story and experience in the golf world.
I am pleased to have my buddy Herm on the podcast. Herm, I'm certain that you're calling in from, you call in on a video call? What do you call it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you video in?
Yeah, looking. Let's say he looks in.
Are you videoing in from West Lafayette?
Yes, still in West Lafayette. Finals week.
And Herm Secney is on the pod. I met Herm, was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
No, 2 years ago. No. 3 years ago.
3 years ago. Yeah.
During COVID?
3 years ago.
Was it a COVID meetup?
At the Windsong at the good old Lady Transmiss.
Nice.
Were we together 1 or 2 days?
1 day, because you were caddying for Ryan, I remember.
Yeah, I was caddying for Ryan. And I it was some times I never forgotten. We've been lucky enough to stay in touch and play a few times, haven't we?
Yep, yeah, mostly at your course, Butler. It's been awesome, of course. We haven't had you down here at Purdue yet, so I look forward to that, but we got to figure that out.
I'm a Pete Dye fan, too, so that would be a good deal.
Yeah, like that sure. maybe have to be a little Member Guest Podcast trip.
That would be phenomenal. I'd pick Herm on my team. So, Herman, are you I'm guessing you're a fourth-year senior, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And will the plans be that you will go a fifth year, or will you be done in the spring?
So I'll be done in the spring. I actually don't have the option to do a fifth year. That actually ended with the class before me. So, yeah, it's just, this is my last year and, just turning pro in June. So I look forward to that. Kind of had enough of the whole school thing, but it's all good.
So as a function of turning pro, I presume you have to get, do you sign with an agency or how does that work?
I don't think they have to, but I see it as beneficial. I decided to do it this summer with Excel and our mutual good friend Campbell Fisher and Alex Burge are taking good care of me there. So we're just working on everything now, getting it set up for the future when I turn pro. So yeah, they're great guys.
Hey Herm, this is the most naive host of the Member Guest Podcast. Been known to not be a golf guy or very smart, but what I do sense is a little accent.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you from? Because it just is it Norway?
Yeah, Norway. Yeah.
What brought you over here, man? So how do you go from Norway to Purdue?
Yeah, great question. I've had that question a lot, but there was a guy.
So you're prepared. You're very prepared.
I'm very prepared for this. So. There was a guy that played on the team from Oslo, which is where I'm from. And we played the same club, actually, and went to the same high school. And so when he was finishing up at Purdue, I guess Coach Bradley was asking him if there were any players that he would be worth looking into overseas or in Norway. And so he came and watched me for a few tournaments and I came over to visit, and it was funny because my visit, I went to my first football game, and that was Ohio State Purdue in 2018, which was a great game, and I committed right after that. So, yeah, it was a memorable week.
Herm, what was growing up in Norway like? And what's the so obviously, you know, Norway, not a huge country, but has seriously come on the map here for developing some stud golfers. What was that? What was your childhood like in Norway? When did you start playing golf? When did you pick up a club? Was it common where you grew up? I think you grew up in Oslo, yeah?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say it was very common at all. The only reason I started playing was because my grandfather played a little bit. He wasn't a competitive player or anything, but he was maybe like a 20 handicap. And he would take me every week, every Sunday, since I was like 11 months old. And my first set of golf clubs I actually got at my baptism as a gift. And I used those for a while. And then, but I didn't really get serious with the game until I was like 10 years old. And that's since then I've been kind of grinding at it. So, yeah.
How quickly did you get to scratch?
Actually, it took me a while. I think I was maybe 14.
Yeah. Same.
And when did you start playing competitive golf?
When I was like, I would say I played some tournaments when I was like really, really young. And then I had like, you know, 8-year hiatus. And then when I was like 12, I made my comeback. So, yeah.
You had a comeback, you said, when you were 12?
Yeah, I played until I was like 3 or 4, you know, and then I retired and then came back.
Retired at the age of 4.
Yeah.
Did
you play soccer or what?
I played soccer for 1 year. I didn't like it. I wasn't very good.
What do you think it is about Scandinavian golfers that make them good?
I don't know. I mean, it's a small country and the climate isn't exactly great for golf, but.
Yeah, it makes no sense. That's why I'm asking. I don't know why you're good at
at the age of 12.
Yeah. If you look at like Victor, for example, he's very good at gathering information.
Yes, he's very good at
figuring it out. Figuring out what works for him and what it does need to listen to. And, you know, he's just being really efficient with his work. Whereas when people are able to work all year round, it's easy to take for granted that you can, you know, play all year. So I think that makes a difference.
You were with him last week or the week before?
It was over Thanksgiving break.
What were your impressions? Is that the first time you played with him?
No, but it's been a while. I think the last time I played with him was like the week before he won the US Amateur. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Damn. When you were like, you know, when you were growing up and being competitive in golf, was there, how many years older than he? Is he like 5 years older than you?
4 years older.
4 years older. So, I mean, did you have contact? Did you compete against him at all? Like when you were younger and he was, you know, in later years of high school, or was that more just, you know, I'm just curious as to how you get to know him. You know, I have to believe that Norway is a relatively small country. Mm-hmm. So when there is really highly successful golfers, I have to believe that there is a bit of a common place to reach out and help shepherd somebody along. So how did you first get introduced to Victor?
I think that was through, I'm trying to think, it must have been like some sort of tournament. I think we have this national tournament every year where each club brings 5 players and then you basically have a national championship. And I think that was the first time I met him. And then we like briefly stayed in touch, you know, for a couple of years, and then we haven't really seen each other. He's been really busy, you know, obviously winning all those tournaments. So I haven't seen him much, but got to see him over Thanksgiving and he was really impressive. So
we were just playing this game. Is Victor Hovland the most famous person in your phone?
Um, Probably.
The fact that you have to think about this is actually like quite impressive. I'm kind of curious who the coin flip was between.
I don't know. You can wonder about that.
So, so you started competing when you were like 14, and were you winning tournaments like pretty quickly? Like I'm trying to figure out. So, how were you? Because it sounds like it took you a couple of years to get to scratch.
Yeah.
What made you like decide that you wanted to do golf? Like, what was it about golf that made you kind of go all in and you know set yourself up? And we're gonna get into like your amateur career and which has been ridiculous. I mean, we thought about reading your accolades to open the episode, but it would have taken us 25 minutes. So, you know, you kind of go from this kid in Norway who's 12,
yeah,
who retired from the game, and then, you know, your comeback starts at 12. It's been quite a ride here, man. Like, walk us through kind of what happened. When did you start getting good? Like, how did you decide like golf is what you wanted to do? Like,
yeah,
what's the journey been like, man?
So like I said, I was competing a little bit like when I was very young, and then I was still like going to the range or whatever for a few years, but I wasn't competing at all. So then like at 12 is kind of when I started. I was like, okay, I want to compete in this, and if I'm going to do it, then I might as well try to be really, really good at it. So and I always had like an obsession with Tiger Woods because I was watching all his DVDs when I was like 3 or 4 years old when those came out. There was like a batch of like 5 of them, I remember. I was watching those a lot. So, yeah, I don't know. It just kind of got back into it. And then I didn't really win many tournaments in the beginning. I just got a little bit better each and every year. And then when I got to college, I felt like I was in a spot where I could really improve. And it kind of took off a little bit my sophomore year. So. Yeah, it's been great.
So is that when you feel like you've made the biggest jump? Was it in college? Or?
Yes, definitely.
What kind of clicked? What was the impetus where it was like all of a sudden you're like, wow, my playing ability and career is just about ready to skyrocket?
I think I had worked with this guy named Denny Lucas at this point for like a year or so, and he was working with Victor and Chris Ventura, and they were doing really good, and I had gotten some good work in with him, and I felt like I was getting to a spot where my swing was my swing, and I just felt ready to perform with it instead of thinking about what I had to do. And that obviously really helped, and just learning so much about how to like plan your round, how to, or what the best strategy is, or whatever that might be, just learning that from Coach Bradley and our assistant coaches that we've had. So, yeah, I just feel like that really helped.
And Herm, you did a stop at IMG Academy. How long were you there for?
It wasn't too long. It was maybe 6 or 7 months because COVID happened that March and I had to go home. I didn't have to, but they set the place down and it wasn't really much you can do, so I just decided to go home early.
Wow. Well, I'm looking, you know, at your amateur career, and you know, outside of college golf, I think you mentioned is it at the Oslo Golf Club, the Norwegian Junior Team Championship? Is that what you were referencing earlier?
Well, we kind of host a lot of tournaments at the same courses, but yeah, that's been one that we won. But there was one that was not the one where I met Victor at.
And then you also competed in the amateur championship in Europe, right? Where was that at when you played in it?
That was at Royal Birkdale, where Jordan Spieth.
Oh, was it really? And what was that experience like?
It was cool. The weather was terrible. The first round was, I think, like half the field were done, and some guys had shot like 2 or 3 under, which was crazy because, I mean, there were guys like shooting in the 90s out there. It was so bad. And then when I made the turn, I was like 1 over and in like 6th place. And they canceled the first round. But then I ended up getting in on the number the next day. But then I lost my first match. So
Yeah. Who'd you play in your match?
Josh Hill. He's a freshman at Tennessee now.
Okay, very cool. And then you also on the amateur side, it looks like you finished sixth at the Portuguese International Amateur Championship. You finished third at the English Boys Open Amateur Stroke Play Championship. Won the Norwegian Golf Federation's International Trophy by 4 shots last July.
Yeah.
Or was that 2 Julys?
That was like 3 Julys ago.
Okay, yeah. So yeah. Basically a very decorated amateur career. You get to college at Purdue. You are first team All Big Ten last year and the year before. Last year you were All American.
Yeah.
Your scoring average is like close to 70. You've got the Purdue school record for rounds in the 60s, mm-hmm. I believe, in one season. So you got that dog in you, man. So you kind of go from being starting to play golf, then getting good at golf. Talk to us a little bit and listeners a little bit about some of the things you've learned along the way as it relates to competing in golf, right? Because anybody can stand on a driving range and hit it good. A lot of guys do. Obviously, you've learned over time to score your ball and compete in really, really high-level tournaments. Mm-hmm. What has that adjustment been for you like, and what do you attribute your success to?
It really goes back to what I was saying about, course management and how you plan your round. Just really important to pay attention to the small things, make sure you know where the wind's out of, make sure your pins are down right. Just make sure you're really prepared going into the round so you're not second guessing yourself once you're in it, So that's probably the biggest thing I would say just for to compete. And then I would also say just making sure that you stay patient. And obviously it's easy to do when you play well and really hard when you don't play well. But it's just, it's just a balance. You just got to learn to figure it out. And it's something that you got to do yourself. You can't really have anyone help you with that. So just, it's just something you learn, I feel like, once you get more experience.
That's cool. So maybe we'll go off the golf course for a minute and ask you so Norwegian boy comes over to the U.S. and finds himself in Big Ten country, going to Purdue Boilermaker football games. Purdue's also got a great basketball program. What's the American college experience been like for you? I mean, are you tearing it up, or talk to us? is it a bad year to be a lady on Purdue's campus when you're around, or what?
I got my own lady.
3 Okay, years, all right, so. Fair enough. Is she Norwegian, or
yeah,
she's
Norwegian?
She's a. Oh, very cool. Okay, good for you, man. So what is the American college experience? Oh, really? Oh, she did. Nice. Where did she play?
I thought.
Yeah. Are we okay?
He's back.
All right.
He's back.
We're gonna Joniel clip this.
Yeah.
Joniel will clip this. Or...
No worries.
What did you just fall off of? Are you in one of those spinny chairs with no back?
Yeah, I got to make the fair because I had to find a good spot for the podcast,
I mean, so American college experience, Herm, what's it been like? Was it what you expected? Cheeseburgers and keggers? Talk to us about what the experience has been like.
No, it's been pretty good. I wouldn't say it's too much of a culture shock for me because I've been over here a couple times before college. And obviously, being at IMG really helped, getting prepared for college because you stay in dorms and it's just, very college-like, So that really helped me prepare for college. And for the experience itself, I'd say I'm really enjoying it. I'm not going out too much or being too crazy, just trying to focus on my golf right now. So that's what we're doing.
Seems like it's working out quite well for you based on your results over the last few years. Where's been some of your favorite places you've been able to play as part of the Boilermaker squad?
Oh, I was going to say all courses. I was going to say Butler. Obviously, I play with Jay there a lot.
just in general, maybe that's a good answer.
But for our tournaments, we play so many good courses. Inverness is one of my favorites. Milwaukee is obviously a good golf course. We have to play there. Calusa Pines, we get to play every year, which is a crazy golf course, but it's good. It's good. Just a lot of awesome places. So
love that. So Herm, I want to get into your professional kind of journey here in a little bit and just get into your mind and what you're thinking as it relates to that. But so my wife is Norwegian, she was born here, but her family's from Norway.
Awesome.
And, she's been bugging me to go back or to go to Norway for a trip. Uh-huh. I, would absolutely do that, but would be partial to bringing my golf clubs. Maybe talk us through or talk our listeners through a golf trip to Norway. Like, what would that look like? Where would you play? Where would you stay? Any recommendations for our listeners on I've heard golf in Norway, very, very underrated. Mm-hmm. What are some of your favorite tracks there? And what would you recommend if you were to carve out, a couple day itinerary for our listeners?
I would say, obviously, I got to shout out my home course, Oslo Golf Club. It's a great club, 100-year anniversary this year. And it's the oldest club in the country. And it's right outside Oslo, which is obviously very convenient because you fly into Oslo, which is only 30 minutes outside the city. So I would say you got to hit up Oslo Golf Club. You'll enjoy it. The views are great. So I think that was a good spot. And then the next spot is a little more tricky because it's in Lofoten, which is like 24-hour drive from Oslo.
All right. So this isn't... Okay.
That's where my grandfather's from.
Really?
We have Lofoten links there. And that's a top 100 course in the world.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's amazing. How do you get there? Can you fly?
If you want to, you could fly from Oslo. It's like 3-hour flight, and then you got to rent a car, drive, and then get on the ferry. So, like,
got it.
It's not going to be easy either way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, Herm, are you excited about the next step? I mean, if there's one thing I know about you, you practice. So I know that you're preparing, whether it's for an event like in Paris last year, which I'd like to talk about, or that low number mm-hmm. you shot at Sand Valley, which I'm guessing is that framed piece behind you right after we played mm-hmm. at Butler, right?
Yes.
Did I have a 5?
I told Herm, I had a guess.
59.
Well, let's just jump into that. Let's talk about what number, what'd you shoot there?
59 at Sand Valley, first time I saw it. That's fun.
Yeah, right. That's unbelievable.
What'd you shoot, Jordan?
At Sand Valley? I've never played there.
Oh, I thought you played there.
I thought when Herman played Mammoth that he'd shoot like 49.
Yeah. He's going to be there.
Definitely more than
yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
As you're thinking about this next year, you got a lot of stuff coming up, bud. Yeah. Are you excited? Are you nervous? Where's your head at as far as what the next 6 months holds?
No, I'm really excited. Obviously, you got to put together a decent spring season, and that will help me start out on the Korn Ferry Tour, which would be, obviously ideal. But I mean, I feel pretty good about everything because I feel like I have good people around me. My coach, obviously, my parents, my agents, my swing coaches. Everything. I just feel like everything's in a good place and we're well prepared for it. I just feel like we're doing everything now, so we're prepared for it when that happens. So I'm still ready for it.
And I know these guys know better than I do, but is your entree to the Korn Ferry a function of your ranking of what you've done in college? Is that how you'll be able to start on the Korn Ferry Tour?
Yeah.
Pretty and, much. So there's, you go, do you go straight into it? You don't have to play your way on?
Well, it depends. Obviously, as long as you're ranked in the top 10, you go straight out in the Korn Ferry Tour. You start the week after the NCAA championship.
Wow.
Yeah.
So top 10 in NCAA rankings? Or in PGA
Tour U rankings.
Oh, PGA Tour U rankings. What are you ranked right now?
13th.
Yeah, you get there.
So yeah,
you gotta have a good spring.
So you're gonna hit it hard this spring and climb the leaderboard and get yourself right on the Korn Ferry Tour. We believe in you, man. Oh. We think you're gonna do it.
I've seen it firsthand.
Yeah. So let's talk about. I want to hear about. Was it 292? 291.
You got to tell the 291
story.
Do I tell this
291
story?
I want her to. I want Herm to because I've heard Jamie tell it about six times.
Yeah, I want to hear Herm in your words.
Okay. All right, Herm. Jamie's listening.
I remember hearing Jamie talking about that in one of the other episodes.
let's hear it, Herm.
No, so... What hole was it, Jamie? Is it 14?
15.
15, the par 5. It's a dogleg uphill left to right. Or the tee shot's uphill, and then once you get up there, it's kind of downhill, I would say, on the second shot. But so I nuked my drive over the corner. It's my first time playing, but Jamie's saying it's perfect. And we get up there. And our caddy, what's his name, Jeremy?
JJ.
Yeah, JJ. He caddied for us this year, too.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. And JJ says it's 291 to the pin, and it's like a middle pin. And I'm like, okay, I made a 3-wood. And I just nuked this thing, and it's right at the flag. And it takes like one hop over the green and then into like the bushes. And I'm like, okay, are you sure it was 291? And then I made birdie.
It's out. And then he made birdie. I think the second shot, the third shot, was unbelievable. This flopper out of Butler Rough.
Well, into a downhill green.
Into a downhill green, which is 15.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Anytime we come near 15, you can just tell that JJ has a different disposition, Herm. And Berkey is just ready to say, are you sure that was 291?
You imagine being so good that you get to ask if 291 is the right
one. We've thought about putting a plaque down there, actually. That'll make me. There's a lot of things I've seen you do. The second shot you had into two,
mm-hmm.
You had, oh gosh, 239, mm-hmm. And you hit 4 or 5 irons. Do you remember what it was?
It was a 4-iron over that tree.
Over that tree, a 4-iron over that tree to 12 feet, 10 feet?
I think it was less than that, actually. I think it was like...
Yeah.
What's Herm's build like? Is he tall?
Yeah. Let's get your stats. You can't say in kilograms because we're Americans. We don't know
if I guess, I'm going to guess 6'4", 200.
6'1". Okay,
6'1". So he's like me.
Yeah, very similar.
I'd be willing to bet his makeup is slightly different than.
Well, I'm 6'1", 200.
Have you ever looked at Herm swing on Instagram?
No, I don't want to. Oh, he's so good.
It's so square.
Herm, if you like, Jamie's talking about. Now with the new hip, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you like to practice, and obviously you put a lot of time and work and getting where you're going. As a golf junkie and somebody trying to consistently get better, and a lot of our listeners are always looking for tips and tricks. Like, what do you suggest to the, you know, call them the good, maybe single digit golfer? Is it working all around the game? Is there something that you specifically focus on and got like really, really good at?
Yeah.
You know, any knowledge you can drop for us and for the listeners would be very much appreciated. And I'm going to go watch your golf swing on Instagram.
I would say so a lot, obviously you're a decent player if you get down to, let's say, like a 5 handicap, right? But it's obviously a lot easier to get down to the 5 handicap from, let's say, like a 54 than it is to get from a 5 to a +1, I would say.
I feel like it's just as hard to go from a 20 to a 5 as it is a 5 to a 0, maybe even more.
Way harder to go from 5 to 0. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I think. So I think a lot of people just like kind of, they play a lot and they get to that point where they're like a 4 or 5 handicap and they can play pretty good, but they just kind of plateau because they don't really want to like think about what they're doing when they go to the golf course. So I just think if like people had more attention and like planned, even though it sounds boring, like actually like plan and know what you're going to do when you get to the course and just like have intention, I think that's most important. Like, you don't necessarily have to spend more time on it. You just got to be more intentive at what you do.
So you mean like with how you practice, or like with, because you talked about this earlier about being efficient with your practice and how that's something that mm-hmm. you learn in Norway, and we live in Minnesota, so kind of very similar, you know, like our climate sucks here.
Yeah.
And so, but I wouldn't describe us as having figured out the efficiency thing, probably quite like you. Is that like kind of more or less equals more, but, you know, just really focusing on every rep? Like, is it like, what does that really look like?
Yeah, kind of. It's like most people, like if they're going to play around, they just like throw some balls down on the putting green and just hit a few putts. Like, instead of being like, okay, let's see, like if I'm starting the ball in line right now, or like just simple stuff like that. Let's see how my speed is. Like, do something simple where you're actually thinking about why you're doing it instead of just doing it.
That's, you know, very wise advice. I think all of our listeners can benefit from that, and we'll think about it. First of all, I want to ask you, have you played with or seen Ludvig? And I'm going to try to pronounce his name. Tell me if I get this right. Uber?
Kind of close.
Okay. All right. That was pretty good for, you know, an American guy from DC. have you played with him? I mean, he's like, by all accounts, going to be like the next world number one. He's a superstar, man. And everybody, he's kind of lit the golf world on fire with the Ryder Cup. But a fellow young, you know, golfer from that side of the world, does that inspire you? Do you know him at all? Do you are there parts of his game you look at and say, that's pretty cool? Like, what's that like?
I've met him a few times, but I don't really know him. We played in the same tournaments, but I've never played with him either. But one of my best friends plays at Texas Tech, was his teammate for the last 3 years. But personally, I don't really know him. I mean, obviously, like, I watched the Ryder Cup and the tour event that he won, and he won the European tour event as well in Switzerland. So, you know, he's been really impressive. But I can't say I know much about his game.
Are you referring to Bard by chance? Yeah,
Bard, yeah. He played out of
Broadway. Yeah, nice. I showed the boys pictures of Bard, videos of Bard skipping balls across
the court. Yeah. We saw some great videos of you doing it too.
Bard's a legend. What's his plan next year?
He's turning pro as well.
What's his ranking, Herb?
I'm not sure. Maybe like 60 or 70 in the world.
And for a player like that, does he have to go through a process, or does he go straight into playing?
I think he's kind of struggled this past year, so I think he probably won't get anything to PGA Tour U, but he's a good player. Obviously, I think if he goes to Q School, he's probably going to make it. So,
hey, Herm, I got to ask real quick. Can you walk us through what's in your bag?
Yeah, that was going to be my. I was going to ask, what's in the bag?
What's in the bag?
Yeah.
Okay. Where do we want to start? The top or bottom?
Let's go top to bottom.
Okay. Driver. Right now, I got G430 Max.
Is it just because you hit long, and high far bombs, and it's just you want a bunch of spin, or what's the thought process?
I have a lot of shaft leans, so I like to have a little extra spin. So I play a higher lofted head, and my shaft too is pretty spinny. It's a Ventus TR Red.
Wow, that's cool. It's kind of a
six. Have you been pretty enough to be able to see the new 430 Max, like the 10K or whatever it's called?
Not yet. I think I'll maybe in a month or two.
So do you match the 3-wood with that?
Yeah. No, I actually have. I don't play a 3-wood. I have a 5-wood. Turned up a little bit. It's a stealth, original stealth 5-wood with a Ventus TR Blue 8X shaft. It's like a 7-wood length.
And that's what you hit 291 or whatever.
That's not
he did hit 291 on speed.
Anytime Tony starts to get jealous,
I was like, oh my god,
it was 330 probably. That's my guess.
So then do you go into irons? Do you have a hybrid, or what's in between the 5-wood and 7-wood?
7-wood.
Nice. 7-wood gang, me too, man. It's a game changer.
Yeah, it's perfect. G430, 32, and I have a Tensei CK White 94X, I think.
And then what about your irons?
And then irons. I just got new ones last week.
Jordan gets new ones every month.
Yeah. I got the blueprint S's. 4 through 9 iron. Yeah, they're not really blades. They're kind of like the S55.
So like a slight cavity back.
Yeah, they're nice though.
Yeah,
and then what shaft are you?
And they have a seat taper shaft. Seat taper 125 S plus.
Wow, and then that's interesting. And then you go straight into a 4 wedge, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a 45, 50, 54.
So you basically never step on an iron.
And those. What do you mean?
I'm surprised that you're playing S pluses. Like I would have guessed for sure a 130X.
Oh,
if at the lift,
they're really stiff. So S pluses is plenty stiff. Like I can hit them as hard as I want, and I'm like if anything, that's putting too low.
Wow. What about your putter?
Yeah, I have a pretty fitting putter. It's a PLB Oslo.
Nice. That's awesome. No matter what butter it was, you were going to be using though.
It's pretty cool. That's my hometown today.
You got to have it. All right. So I knew what was in your bag. I couldn't have decided what was in your bag. But the question that I wanted to ask, and Annie segues perfectly. You got to start signing some contracts next year. And is it, and maybe Ping shouldn't hear this, but is it Ping or nothing else?
I mean, I love Ping. They've been great with me. Obviously, there's a few months left until I turn pro, so like, but yeah, it's probably going to be Ping. I've been with them 4, 5, 6 years now, so it's been great.
I like that. I mean, I really do. I mean, it probably doesn't hurt that Victor's also a Ping guy too, right? But I think that the idea that you have it and you know it, I don't think finding success is going to be a challenge, and I think adding more variables into the equation to make things more difficult isn't a really good idea. I'm sure that Fish will give you plenty of good advice, but if you can keep true and keep using what you like, I think that'd be a great plan.
I'm going to go back into your equipment one more time.
Ball?
I was just going to say, what ball are you playing?
I play the 2021 Pro Evonix. Yeah.
Got it. So spinning.
Yeah.
And what are your thoughts on the rollback?
Doesn't make much sense to me.
Same. I just saw a podcast on this last week if you didn't hear.
What's that?
What'd you say?
It's not going to make any difference. I mean, I'm still going to hit it 30 yards farther than the guy that, already was 30 behind me. And then he's just going to, you know.
I'm 100%.
It's the same thing.
My argument is, it's going to actually probably be a bigger detriment for people who aren't quite as long, because you're going to go from hitting a 7 iron to a 6 iron, and somebody else is going to go from hitting a 6 iron to a 4 iron.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to be playing those G430 hybrids in their bag, like I was last year for a tournament. I had a 3, 4, and 5 hybrid in my bag at one point.
It was pretty lame, Herm. Herm, you're forever a friend of the pod now, man. And we're going to be pulling for you hard and following you. I guess good luck in professional golf. Have a great season this year, the back half here at Purdue. I'm sure you will. I'll tell you, from our perspective, you just seem like a guy that's got his head on screwed the right way and, thinks about the game the right way. And, I wish I could like be more like you, man. I mean, you just play the game and practice and, you don't overcomplicate it. It seems like you like to keep it pretty simple. I'm the kind of guy that thinks about everything, all night and all day and change my swing 55 times a year and, all that. So I'm going to, this might be the year of Herm for me. I might be trying to be like you this year.
Hey, Herm guys.
If you guys want to follow Herm on Instagram, it's Herm Secney, all one word at Instagram. I'd recommend it. If you want to see what pure looks like, just tune in there. Yeah. And when you make it big, Herm, don't forget about the boys.
Right? I'll be back on the pod.
Don't leave us. Don't leave us hanging, man. And you got to pick Herm. Now that my hip is good, pick what I'm going to be catting for you, because I did well with Ryan. I know I can do well with you.
Okay, just let me know when you're ready, and I'll let you know.
You'll see me at Butler before you go pro. That's my guess.
Okay, perfect.
All right, Herb. Hey, be safe getting off that chair, buddy.
Yeah. I'll try my best.
All right,
thank you very much. Go to our last time.
You're the man, dude. Best of luck this year.
Thanks for coming on. Good to see you, bud.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right, see you.
You too.
Dude, bye.
Bye.